Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. I'm so glad you're listening today. I have a dear, dear friend and a fellow author, Sunshine Mughrabi, speaking today about her new book. Her new book is When My Boyfriend Was a Girl. And they were both looking for love, she a bisexual woman and he a transgendered man. What could possibly go wrong? It's a memoir and a real-life love story. So I can't wait to speak to Sunshine. She's a fantastic person. I'm very excited to have her on today. And this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. Is this Sunshine?
Yes, it is. Thank you,
hey,
Gary.
Hey, my love.
Thank
how
you.
Are you?
I am fine. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm so proud and happy that you documented this journey, this memoir here of such an intriguing subject. And I think it's going to bring light and clarity to the many diverse sexual preferences and realities going on in modern day society. So I'm thrilled to be, number one, supporting you as an author. It's just such an honor. And I think it's great for our listeners at Conscious Connection to understand the scope and breadth that you're chose to write about and your story. So where should we start here? Why did you choose to write a memoir, let's say, instead of a novel or a how-to book?
Well, it's funny. I actually did try to write a novel on this general topic. I had some ideas there, and none of them really worked. And then I just kind of dropped the idea, and I started thinking about writing a memoir about my family. And as you know, I had quite a family background. And so I thought, oh, that would make a good book. And I took a workshop with this amazing a workshop leader named Adair Lara. If you're in San Francisco and you want to do a writing workshop, highly recommend her.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, I just told her what I wanted to write about. And she said, you know, that's kind of been done, the alcoholic mother thing. And what about, you know, is there anything else about your life that's interesting or unusual? And I was sort of like, no. Not really.
Uh-huh.
Pretty boring life. Nothing going on. And she's like, really? There's nothing? And I was like, well, I mean, my husband's transgender. I don't know if that's really a story. And she said, yeah, that's a story. That is a story.
Especially for this day and age.
Well, yes. And I think because it's just my life, I didn't really think there was a story. I didn't think it was an adventure. Once I started writing it, I realized what an amazing journey we had gone through together. It took sitting down and really writing it to discover, I think, the profound transformation that we both went through.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So what would be three things our readers can learn about relationships from reading the memoir, regardless of the sexual orientation?
Oh, that's a good question. I think for me, one of the biggest things that I learned very early on when my partner, my husband Leo, and I first got together, he had started his transition from female to male less than a year before we met. And what that meant was that he had started taking testosterone, which is a very strong, I guess it's not a drug, but it's a hormone, and it changes a person. So, I mean, the change he was going through was so immense just on that level. And it was, I say in the book, it was like I had boarded a ship with him that had no captain, no steering, no rudder, and no idea where the ship was going.
Yeah.
You know, we knew it was the right direction for him. It was so obviously what he needed, excuse me, in his life. It was so clearly the right thing. But how it was going to go was completely beyond what either of us knew. And so what I would say is one of the things I learned is communication is absolutely crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to beam over and hope the person gets what you're thinking and feeling thing.
Right.
It just didn't work under these conditions. There was no, he wasn't going to get it. I had to be, you know, I had to really say how I felt. I had to make myself vulnerable. I had to swallow my pride if I was hurt or jealous. Jealous came up pretty early on because this was somebody who in some ways had turned into a 17-year-old boy.
Yeah. I wouldn't wish that on anyone, myself included.
I mean, really, he was, first of all, he looked a little like a 17-year-old boy. So people, when we walked down the street, they didn't necessarily know, were we a couple? Was he a young, effeminate gay man who I was just kind of hanging around with? Was he my son? I really was hoping nobody thought that, but they probably did.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, we were both in our early 30s. But he looked like a 17-year-old boy for a while there. And so, yeah, he was, I mean, gay men were looking at him, and he's bisexual. He was responding, you know. He was looking right back and sometimes getting crushy. And so I learned that I had to admit, I'm jealous. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I don't know where things, you know. And it was, so I think that's something that really anybody, regardless of their sexual orientation or their gender, hopefully, you know, would learn or think about.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Let's see. You said three things,
Yeah, and it's such a learning experience because people have that going on anyway. So it's just compounded in a way, not to mention the societal beliefs and things about I have transgender people who come to my constellation workshops, and it's absolutely fabulous to have that kind of diversity there and the courage it takes. A lot of people think, oh, they're just doing this and that. It takes tremendous courage in society, even in the 21st century, to live that type of life, to make those kind of changes, you know, to be true to your true identity. I personally had enough trouble just coming out as a gay man when I was in my 30s, feeling comfortable with that and knowing that it was okay to be gay, so to speak, which my biology was there all along, but my psychology couldn't catch up with it. So I imagine in this particular case, you as a woman with a transgendered person, as well as that in society, plus what you're going through on an emotional level, because not to be, I don't mean to be, what would you call it, disrespectful, but in some ways, testosterone makes you kind of stupid, as we see with teenage boys, and not that men are stupid per se, but testosterone or testosterone-fueled rage or whatever, you know, how it's exhibited through the males of our species doesn't make them the most brightest light bulb on the marquee sometimes. The hormones take
Absolutely. I mean, I actually talk about this sort of Seinfeldian male idiot superhero brain that would take over sometimes, and he would just have the most stupid ideas, and they were, you know, we were in traffic, and he suddenly had this idea he could get around some big truck that he really could not get around, and I'd be like, on the one hand, the testosterone actually, in some ways, it made him smarter. It's a very interesting, I mean, there's so much to say about testosterone, which we probably won't get into deeply, but in some ways it did. It made him more logical. He was always very good at sort of spatial things because he's an artist and a designer, but that even got better and sharper, and he became more technical, all these interesting things. But but there was also, you're right, this stupid thing that would happen. And this thing that, honestly, I think, I don't know hardly any women who have this, but men have this a lot, where they'll be looking at an attractive person and their brain just kind of shuts off completely. It's the funniest thing. You know, it's this, I mean, the kind of classic thing of like a man staring at a woman's boobs and just going completely blank.
Yeah.
And their brain just cannot function at all. And like, I can look at an attractive person and my brain doesn't shut off. But his started doing that.
Because you're female. Just so you know, biologically, males perceive their sexuality through visuals. And ironically, I'm a former massage therapy teacher, so I taught aromatherapy. And women perceive a lot about the opposite gender through their nose, through smell and touch and other senses, so to speak. So it does really make complete sense that the visual would really distract a male, especially anyone on testosterone as well.
It absolutely did, and it was sometimes comical, sometimes infuriating, always. And I want to say what you said earlier is so true, that the amount of bravery, I mean, it's been lovely. You know, I put the book out, and people said to me how brave I was and how brave we were for writing this book, and that is a really nice thing to say. And I just want to say, when Lior undertook this gender, you know, transition, that was an unbelievably brave thing, and I'm so glad you said that, Gary, because it's something that can get lost or not noticed or not honored, the unbelievable journey and the things that he risked as a person. He, of course, risked being shunned, and to some extent some of that happened. I mean, he was very fortunate. His family was absolutely wonderful and supportive, which, you know, makes such a difference. He has an amazing family, but it was. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen internally. You don't know what's going to happen externally, and nobody would do this unless they felt deeply compelled and that it was something really almost inevitable. That was certainly the way he's always talked about it with me. That Go ahead.
Go ahead. You also see that in the gay community, because I was in agony for 5 or 6 years. I divorced my ex-wife. And on top of that, both you and I are very familiar with constellations, and we deal with the excluded, the elements of exclusion that happened from being different or not the societal norm. So there's a tremendous risk internally and externally. And I always tell people, people don't exactly volunteer to be gay. It's so part of your fiber that you really have no choice. That's why I celebrate people who really come out and support them, because it takes a lot of courage and bravery. And even more, because even the gay community has issues with transgender and whatever. And sometimes I found the community not to be as open as they perceive themselves to be.
I would have to agree with you on that, Gary. I think it's changing, and
I think
wonderful things have happened just over the last year. We've got people like Janet Mock, you know, who are publicly talking about it. We had the HRC really embracing Lana Wachowski, who is a trans woman and movie director of Matrix and so on.
I was so happy when they showed a preview about, you know, and they had her as a different gender, and I just was so thrilled someone with that visibility would have the courage to do such a thing.
Yeah, and she's it's so funny. Lior relates so well to her because, like him, she's a very private person. She's not somebody who wanted to be the trans figurehead at all. And she just, at some point, she said she realized that there's, you know, a trans kid out there who, and this is kind of why I did this book, honestly. I had a lot of fear about putting it out. But I thought, you know, but what if a kid or a family member or a parent or a partner reads this and thinks to themselves, I'm not alone. And that's actually one of the reasons I wanted to write it, really, was that I wanted to read my story, and I couldn't find my story. I couldn't find our story. I could find elements, of course. I mean, all love stories in a certain way are the same.
Right.
But I couldn't find this particular story. It was not in any literature I could find, really. I could find a small amount of literature that was memoirs from the point of view of a trans person going through a process. And there's some wonderful ones out there. But I couldn't find my story, really. The story of, you know, falling in love with a trans man and everything we went through. So, I mean, that is part of what drove me to write this, not just to write it, the writing was a whole sort of process and journey unto itself, but to go ahead and actually publish it, which
yes.
was another, we were not out to the whole world.
Right.
There mm-hmm. were many people in our lives who had no idea. When you meet Lior, it would never cross your mind unless, you know, somebody told you.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
there were plenty of people in our lives who didn't know. It didn't seem relevant a lot of the time. You know, when you talked about gay people coming out, I think there is actually a little difference there, because for trans people, coming out doesn't always work that well.
Right, exactly.
It
mm-hmm.
just people then, I mean, I had this experience where I would tell somebody about Lior. When I first got together with him, I just wanted to talk about him all the time. You know how
mm-hmm.
it is when you first fall in
yeah.
love, you just want to talk about, you know, and talk and talk and
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, how great. Mm-hmm.
And this wonderful man that I've met and this and that. And I wanted
mm-hmm.
to talk about the fact that he was undergoing this gender transition, because mm-hmm. that was such a huge thing that we were going through together. And I would mention it. And then people would do things that made me realize how complicated the coming out thing was.
Mm-hmm.
Like people who had no idea before would slip and say she
mm-hmm.
about him,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really actually was very insulting to him.
Yeah, well, it's derogatory. Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah. And
it's
or,
not honoring the choice, even if
yes.
a person is that, you have to honor their choice and speak in the right pronoun to honor that choice.
Yeah, I see you get this, but a lot of people, and
mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily limited to, like, straight people thing. It was also people I met who were gay and lesbian would make this mistake.
Right.
And then there was this kind of, suddenly they'd be referring to him as my friend instead
wow.
of my boyfriend. There was
yeah.
this kind of, like, they'd be switching over. Even after we got married, and I would refer to him as my husband, and the person would refer back to him as my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that was really dishonoring, too, because it's like, well, it's this person. It, somehow it was, and I really sometimes really struggled with this, Gary. Sometimes I did feel like, are we real?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a real relationship? I would get caught up in other people's head trips.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so... One of the really nice things, actually, about doing this book is it really kind of straightened my own head on
mm-hmm.
that, looking
mm-hmm.
back at everything we've been through. If anything, I think we have a deeper connection.
Oh, absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
you know, what we've been
mm-hmm.
through.
Yeah.
So.
And now, being in a relationship with a transgender man, being female yourself, what has that
mm-hmm.
taught you about gender? Being a female yourself, what has that taught you about gender roles?
Oh, that's a really good question, too. I mean, you know, it's funny because, like, as we were talking about earlier, the testosterone and just sort of being a male, you know, being perceived as male by society, it sort of changes how a person is. So there's sort of the gender differences thing that he and I went through. And then there's the gender roles thing, which is somewhat different. I think there's a sort of maleness, and Lior is completely that. He is male. I mean, he is I perceive him as a man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even really think of him as a transgender man anymore. I think of him as a man. He
mm-hmm.
is my man. He's my husband. He
yes.
is so much a man, too. I mean, in so many ways that are, you know, it's hard to even say what it is. It's a deep, essential somethingness that he
mm-hmm.
has.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And
mm-hmm.
But then there's gender roles, which is a little different, because he and
mm-hmm.
I actually have a somewhat non-traditional, I mean, he's the cook in our house.
Uh-huh.
He does all the cooking, and I mean, he's into it, and he chases me out of the kitchen if I try to help because I'm just hopeless,
mm-hmm.
and he's in charge, and he's in charge of the shopping lists, and he's the one who does all that, and he's generally a homebody. He's, you know, we run a business together, but I'm the one
yeah.
who goes out there and makes the sales
mm-hmm.
and does a lot of the client contact, and I'm the sort of get out there into the world person, and he's the sort of stay home and keep house person.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in that sense, I think what it really taught me is do not try to force a gender role on a person.
Mm-hmm.
Do not, I mean, one of the early scenes in the book, I had thrown my back out,
mm-hmm.
and I was in pain, and he came over, and I wasn't even sure if we were going to be a couple yet at that point. I know
yeah.
we'd been dating, but I wasn't sure if it was a romantic thing or if he was ready. I knew I was into him, but was he into me? And he came by, mm-hmm. and he helped me out with my back, and then he did my laundry for me, and all this nurturing stuff to kind of help me, and I sort of took that as, oh, he just wants to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's being nurturing, and
right, exactly.
guy nurturing means not interested, not
mm-hmm.
sexual or something. And I had to figure out that, oh, no, he has a nurturing side. He has a nurturing aspect, and that's part of how he expresses his romantic feelings towards me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that, you know, it gets beyond the transgender thing. It's like, how many times have, you know, men, just cisgender, you know, biological males, had that same thing and not had that recognized, that their
right,
nurturing
right.
side is part of how they express their love. And,
yes, and John Lennon, when he chose to, luckily he had the money to do it post-Beatles, but he chose to be a house husband and was so grateful after a slew of miscarriages Yoko had with their children to birth Sean Lennon, and he stayed at home with his son the first years of his life until he was unfortunately assassinated. And he was really one of the first men who actually was very courageous being a house husband and changing roles of society and enjoying it totally after his stint in the music industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you think of John Lennon, you do think of, I do anyway, I think of the aspects of him as a nurturing sort of soft person. I don't,
right.
I think of him as quite balanced, actually.
Yes.
One of the interesting things people will say about Lior is they'll say, oh, he's so balanced. If they, whether
mm-hmm.
they know he's trans or not doesn't seem to matter. If they're
yeah,
sort of on the
great.
More spiritual side, they'll say, oh, he's mm-hmm. so, he seems to be really balanced. He doesn't have, mm-hmm. you know. And it's true. He is very balanced. He's very much in tune with both his nurturing side and his more sort of hard, I don't know what the right word is, but sort of more typically masculine side that
maybe
in which he's...
Maybe the macho might be a good adjective.
What?
The macho side.
The macho side, yes, he can be
be
a bit macho. I mean, it's sort of funny because, like, when we go to a party, he tends to... His first instinct, actually, is to go in the kitchen and go and dish with the women.
Mm-hmm.
He's still... first of all, they want to talk about food and cooking and interesting things like that, and
mm-hmm.
whereas the men want to talk about sports, he has no interest in sports
mm-hmm.
whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But that all changes if the guys want to talk about something he is interested in, like he's
right.
gotten really into cocktails lately, and suddenly he's like having the bro, you know, conversations with the guys about the cocktails. And it is kind of funny because, you know, I mean, he's, again, it's a balanced thing, and it's also a, I think, especially recently, in the last few years, where he's become really fully who he is. He's sort of come into this identity completely.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's been in some ways hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
and how so?
I mean, it's almost like I went through a thing where I started thinking, well, he's kind of done. He's finished.
Mm-hmm.
He's... Maybe you'll understand this, Gary, because I know you, the work you do in
yeah.
sort of guiding people through transformations, I think there is a moment in the course of a transformation or a journey where
mm-hmm.
you actually have arrived somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, for a while, until the next
yeah,
change
Yeah, for a while,
occurs.
Until you get on. And when,
yeah.
when he hit that point, I went through something where I was kind of like, well, he doesn't need me anymore. And then I finally realized that, you know what, no, actually, this is like sort of like payoff time where we can really enjoy that we arrived together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we can, and we have so much connection and depth to our relationship. And I can really lean on him now in a way that I don't know if I think I could have all along, honestly. He's been an amazing, amazing partner. But now I really feel that safety that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, I feel like I'm hoping. What?
It's called love and vulnerability.
Yes.
And trust.
And trust.
And you were hoping what? I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Well, I was going to say, Gary, that I'm hoping, you know, that one of the things people, if they take something away from this book, is that, you know, as I said earlier, I felt like we were boarding this ship and we didn't have a rudder and I was trying to trim the sails and steer and be the captain and get us through things. And at some point, I think I finally just had to admit that life is an adventure.
Right.
It's an adventure. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you can't, if you try to control it, you kind of, it's not realistic and it's also not as fun.
Yeah.
And at some point, I started to get to that place of acceptance that we're just on this ride together. We don't need to know exactly where it's all going to lead us.
Right.
We are just doing this together. This is what life is about. And if you kind of just get into that place of acceptance and let go, and life is going to take you where it's going to take you.
That's excellent. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, so I want to let our listeners know a conscious connection here that I'm going to have where to purchase the book with live links on our interview here with our interview live link. And I want to say I was surprised the other day when I got the email and I said, oh, my God, I have a couple openings at the end of March and I didn't know who I was going to have as a guest. And I was like so thrilled to have one of my favorite people in the Bay Area just to support you and get some sound bites out there about this wonderful project.
I'm so appreciative, Gary.
Yeah,
really.
Supporting authors and especially dear friends such as yourself. And just our last question here before we have to sign off here. We only have a couple minutes. What do you hope readers take away from reading your book here?
Oh, that's a really good question, too. I mean, again, I think what I hope people take away is, first of all, that being an outsider, being different, doesn't mean you can't have a wonderful life.
Mm-hmm.
People might judge you. People might shun you. These things can happen. But you can deal. And if you can accept yourself, it almost doesn't matter. People probably accept you more once you accept yourself. But even if they don't, it doesn't matter. Because if you accept yourself, then everything basically is fine again. And
right,
and that's
exactly.
not, and I think, yeah, I mean, and I was going to say also that I hope people take away that relationships are relationships.
Mm-hmm.
People are people. This is
it's
a love
really
story.
True.
You know, and whether or not they think they can relate.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly everyone I know who's read it so far has had no trouble finding how they relate to this story, even if they have absolutely nothing to do with gender transition.
Right.
So I hope that they take that away and that they take away, as I said earlier, that life is an adventure and it's okay to screw up. I mean,
absolutely.
My goodness, I made so many mistakes, but you know,
we have to close your life anyway. We're running out of time here. About to close Conscious Connection. My guest has been my dear friend Sunshine Mughrabi with her new book, When My Boyfriend Was a Girl. And this is Gary Stewart on Conscious Connection. Sunshine, it's been wonderful to talk to you. And for our listeners, always remember, love is love. Gender preference doesn't matter. It's all about love and intimacy. And thank you, Sunshine, for being such a fantastic guest, and I can't wait to read the book, which I downloaded on my Kindle. And all the best, and I will promote it all over social networks.
Oh, thank you so much.
Namaste, sweetheart, and thank you
very
much.
Namaste to you. Bye-bye.
Good luck. Till we speak again. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Namaste from Conscious Connection. Till next time.